Opinions expressed on this program are those of the host and do not reflect those of KVOR, Cumulus Media, or its advertisers.
I'm American made, but life's Chevrolet. My mama taught me wrong from right. I was born in the South. Sometimes I have a big mouth when I see something that I don't like. I gotta say it.
Happy Sunday to my friends here from AM 740 KVOR. I'm Michelle Morin, telling you what big media won't. Give me a call at 719-540-0740. Wow! You would think the sky's falling. President Trump does the most responsible action he could for America. He pulled us out of Obama's illegal Paris Climate Accord. And as soon as he did it, I tweeted that the sky is falling and Trump just released the latch. And lo and behold, people are going to die. That's all we're hearing about. So now we are, well, Trump is symbolic of you and I who elected him because he's the easiest target for the left to go after. Remember, they're so embittered that Hillary did not get elected. Thank God. Oh, my gosh. My kids and I talk about this. My oldest daughter says, I am thankful every day that Trump got elected and that Hillary did not. And does she not cement that gratitude every time she speaks? We meant to cover some of that last week. We may cover some of her her bitterness, her bitter apple tour that she's going around. And, you know, golly, we may cover that. But tonight, we're going to primarily talk about how here we have a president who took us out of Obama's Paris Climate Accord. Thankfully, that was probably one of the worst punches against the United States of America that Obama took. Well, maybe not the one. It was one of many horrible punches that Obama took against you and me here in America. And Trump did the right thing. It took him a while to do it, but he did it. And I am so grateful. I was very concerned that he was going to backtrack on that, because rumor had it that his daughter Ivanka wanted him to stay in this accord, and he didn't. But here we have Trump pulling us out of this accord, and we're going to play some of the audio from his just powerful, articulate, incredible speech announcing the exit from that accord. He could not have articulated that exit any clearer, any stronger. And it just, I heard the speech and I sat there stunned at some of the things our president said. He just laid it out there. I could not have been happier. So he takes us out of the accord. The left is screaming that the sky is falling and we must take action against Trump and everyone who denies climate change immediately or else. And then we have a British, an ISIS terror attack in Britain where, best I know, three Islamic terrorists plowed over the bridge and ran over innocent citizens and then got out with 10-inch, 12-inch knives and went on a stabbing spree and just slaughtered innocent British civilians, citizens. And the bigger deal is the climate change issue. The left cares nothing about actual destruction of human life. They care nothing about how these British people have been slaughtered for no reason other than Islamic jihad. and the celebration of Ramadan. And instead, it's all about how the sky is falling on top of us and how evil you and I are and how evil Trump is. They're pulling out all the stops. The ACLU called what Trump did an assault on communities of color. Can you make heads and tails of that? We pulled out of the climate accord, and it's racist. Only a leftist can make that connection. Only a leftist can make that connection. Why? Because they, number one, take us for stupid. Number two, they know that if they just keep saying it over and over again, the lie becomes truth. And number three, they want to guilt us. They want to guilt whites, particularly the white male. And then we have Kathy Griffin. I'm not even going to call her a comedian because she's not funny. She's a vile piece of human being that needs to get out of from behind a microphone. She takes this photograph of herself with a beheaded Trump and blood all over it. And boy, does she suffer backlash. She loses her job on New Year's Eve with Anderson Cooper, CNN. Oh, big deal. But then her shows start getting canceled. So there actually is some backlash coming out from this. And she comes out and apologizes a couple days later. And then she goes and hires Lisa Bloom, one of the feminist sympathizer, famous lawyers, and has her press release and puts on the fake waterworks, the fake tears, and talks about how the white guys are trying to do her in. They just are. The world is chaos, my friends. That's why we're here tonight. We're gonna bring some clarity to this. Big media is not going to tell you any of this. They're just going to tell you how evil you are because you support Trump for pulling us out of the Paris Climate Accord. Senator Chris Murphy from Connecticut, he actually tweeted out an apology to the planet. Leftist billionaire Tom Steyer said that Trump's announcement was treasonous. Treasonous. Someone explain to me how that was treasonous. It must have been treasonous to the Marxist ideal, because that's really what these people are talking about. People are going to die. Children are going to die. That's what we're hearing over and over and over and over again. In fact, California Governor Jerry Brown, let's just go straight to one of these insane leftists and hear what he had to say. Here's California Governor Jerry Brown talking about how people are going to die. I believe this was from this morning. Let me find out. But while you guys, you play that, Jason, and I'm going to find out when that was. That's important when this audio was, when the governor said this, because I want to keep it in perspective with what happened in Britain. So go ahead and play that clip, Jason, and I'm going to find out when that was spoken. Was that this morning or yesterday?
Now, what is your immediate gut reaction to this?
Well, the immediate reaction is this is a crazy decision. It's against the facts. It's against science. It's against reality itself. We know we have to decarbonize our future. If we don't, it's a horror. People are going to die.
That's California Governor Jerry Brown. People are going to die. This was Thursday night, so it was not this morning. He said his immediate reaction, this was a crazy decision. It's against the facts. What facts? It's against science. Which science? Bill Nye's science? It's against reality itself. We have to decarbonize our future. What does that mean? We have to decarbonize our future. How do you decarbonize a planet? How do you do that? Does that mean you just take all life out of the planet? Because that's just insane. The other part we didn't get was, not only did he say people will die, habitats will be destroyed, seas will rise, insects will spread in areas they never have before. This isn't a game. It's not politics to talk to your base. It's humanity and whether it makes it through the 21st century. Oh, guys, don't you know? Trump just brought the end of the world. He just brought the end of the world. Unbelievable how the left will shout these hysterics, and some people will actually believe it. More to come on the Paris Climate Accord, Kathy Griffin, the leftist crazy reaction, and is the sky really going to fall? Has it begun falling? Have you felt it yet? Let's find out.
These are the things big media won't tell you with Michelle Morin on AM 740 KVOR.
As president, I can put no other consideration before the well-being of American citizens. The Paris Climate Accord is simply the latest example of Washington entering into an agreement that disadvantages the United States to the exclusive benefit of other countries, leaving American workers, who I love, and taxpayers to absorb the cost in terms of lost jobs, lower wages, shuttered factories, and vastly diminished economic production. Thus, as of today, the United States will cease all implementation of the non-binding Paris Accord and the draconian financial and economic burdens the agreement imposes on our country.
All right. That's the beginning of Trump's exit speech out of the Paris Climate Accord. What a day. I sat by my, did you notice he was supposed to speak at 1 o'clock Mountain Time that day, and he waited till 1:30. I was sitting by my computer waiting for him to come out. I could not wait. ACLU tweeted, pulling out of the Paris Agreement would be a massive step back for racial justice and an assault on communities of color across the U.S. Jason, my producer, my millennial producer, has so much to say, I cannot hold him back. What do you have to say to that?
I'm just really excited that my white privilege is stopping Mother Nature from hurting me. I didn't realize that until today, but I am so thankful for that now. Well, I didn't know.
It discriminates, right?
Yeah, Mother Nature only goes after minorities. I didn't realize that.
Wow. You are a privileged millennial. White millennial.
Another thing right over there. Yep, white males are immune to Mother Nature.
Thank you. See? I want my listeners to know, Jason works really hard with me. He and I work very hard for a few hours before this show, putting together audio clips and talking about the direction of the show. And I want you to know Jason is a millennial, and I'm proud to introduce Jason as my producer. He is a millennial. There are a few other facts about him we might reveal later. I'll ask him permission about those. But he makes me proud, along with my own kids who are millennials. There is hope, my friends, and I'm going to ask Jason to comment. He's always got amazing things to say at break, and I want to start pulling a little bit more of that in, because I want you, my listeners, to know that it's not all doom and gloom. All the snowflakes and all the pretty much idiot millennials that we hear from that get the squeakiest wheel gets the oil kind of millennials, I want you to know that they're not all out there like that. There is hope. As my generation and older generations have to, go into our golden years wondering how in the world the sky really won't fall out just because of people that are completely enslaved and indoctrinated by the left. So anyway, yes, pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord was a racist assault. Chris Murphy, Democrat senator from Connecticut, tweeted this, literally. Dear planet, we're sorry. Please just hang on for 3.5 more years and we'll fix this. We promise. That's the left for you. That's embarrassing. That's an American. Tom Steyer is a billionaire. We've mentioned him a few times. He tweeted that if Trump pulls the U.S. out of the Paris Agreement, He will be committing a traitorous act of war against the American people. How does he commit a traitorous act of war? You know they say anything, right, my friends? You know that. It's amazing. And, of course, people are going to die. People are going to die. That's what California Governor Jerry Brown said before we went to break. And, yeah, people are going to die. And they're dying because ISIS is slitting their throats and plowing them over. Do you not give a rip about the real destruction and murder that's going on? Oh, just makes us crazy, doesn't it? Andy, you called in. I'm Michelle here on AM 740 KVOR. How are you tonight?
Just fine.
What do you think about this Paris Climate Accord and how we got out of it?
Well, I am very, very happy that Trump took us out of it. As you know, I've been writing and talking on this general subject of the climate change fraud for years, over a decade.
Really?
I gave a couple presentations.
Okay.
And when we were in CCM, I gave one there, which dragged on a little while. But so I've been talking about this for a while. I wrote a couple articles a few years back that were published. And that's kind of a couple points I want to make on the whole treaty.
Well, share with us your expertise here.
Is based. Hello.
Share with us your expertise here.
Oh well, just because I've been researching it.
Okay.
So I got a huge file on stuff on climate change. I've got a stack of books, all of it published, peer-reviewed research by thousands of scientists that disagree, you know, with the premise. And that's kind of one of the points I want to make is the whole climate change treaty was based on a false premise. It's based on a climate fraud, scientific fraud and political fraud.
Okay.
And that's what the whole thing is. The other point about it is the treaty really isn't about fighting climate, even if they believed what they're putting out there. What the treaty does is really rip off us. So I've got a little graphic I'm taking a look at right now, and one of the things that the climate treaty does is it sets up a green climate fund that requires $100 billion per year. Excuse me, that's the wrong number, but it's a lot of money. I think it's like a billion.
Mm-hmm.
So the U.S. has kicked in a billion, and no one else has. And that's one of the points that Trump made is that nobody else is paying into this thing. What the treaty really is about ripping off the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
To a huge amount of money,
mm-hmm.
Tens of billion dollars per year. And I think the climate fund, I think, is going much, much more than that. And even if they did everything that's in the treaty, by their own estimates, they'd only reduce the rise in temperature by a fraction of a degree. I think 0.17 degrees is what I'm reading right now off another thing, by 2100. So it's nonsense. It's absolutely nonsense. It's based on a false premise. And as you and I both know, and most of us listening know, it's not really a treaty because it was never constitutionally put before the Senate.
Right.
The rest of the world considers it a treaty, but it's, you know, a non-binding set of targets that no one else has to meet except us until way down the road. So that's what it's really about. It's about ripping off the U.S. and making us non-competitive to the rest of the world.
Yes, yes, exactly. And Trump even said that. Didn't you think his speech was just right on target? He took the time. I've got it printed out here. It's pages. It's six pages. And he took the time to just tear it apart.
And he went through
piece
point by point.
Piece. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
I'd love to be able to go through the whole thing, but time is too short.
I know. I'm going to try to pull out parts of it. Do you have a copy of that graphic, Andy, that you can maybe send to me and I could share it with folks on social media?
Yeah, I can send you the link.
Okay.
I'm pulling it up off.
That would be great. Well, Andy, I want you to keep calling in with this climate hoax because I'm not completely an expert on it. If you've done all the research, I need to learn from you some more of the data that's behind it. They're using fear-mongering, and most of America...
Oh, it's blatant fear-mongering, yeah. And it's very ironic because, and I'll renew this offer I've had out there for years. How come down and talk to anybody. And I've talked to a number of groups before, and I've presented a couple of presentations. And I'm willing to sit down and lay out the alternate viewpoint. None of the thermophobes have ever taken me up on that. And I think the worst example of that was about 2 years ago when UCCS put on a presentation. They brought in a guy, to give the scientific explanation, and it wasn't. It was all pure propaganda. But I offered to sit down and join them, and they denied me that.
Yeah, they don't want. They're so scared.
They don't want anybody to come. Right. So they denied listening to any alternative viewpoints on the science.
Well, Andy, thank you so much for all that you've done. You have been active, and you're not a person who seeks glory. You just get out there and you fight the good fight. You educate people, and you always have ever since I've known you. And I appreciate all that you've done. Thanks for calling in. And that music means we need to take a break. And we will be back with a lot more about Kathy Griffin, the climate scare, and the real scare that's terrorizing this world when we come back here on AM 740 KVOR.
These are the things big media won't tell you.
Trying to make up his own stack. And that is our job.
Yeah. The Michelle Moran Show.
I'm Michelle Moran here on AM 740 KVOR. Call me at 719-540-0740. Join the discussion as we talk about what I'm telling you what big media won't. And, of course, it's all about how the climate change is the big threat and how people are going to die because Trump got out of the Paris Climate Accord. Why are people going to die just because the United States got out of it? How many countries were in the accord? Let me go find the number. Lots of countries, all but two. The United States became the third to not participate in it. Why is the sky going to fall because the United States pulled out of the Paris Climate Accord? Well, gee, let's hear what Trump had to say about some of what was really going on. Let's listen to clip three, Jason. Got it? All right, clip three. This is from Trump's exit speech from the Climate Accord.
This agreement is less about the climate and more about other countries gaining a financial advantage over the United States.
Yes!
The rest of the world applauded when we signed the Paris Agreement. They went wild. They were so happy. For the simple reason that it put our country, the United States of America, which we all love, at a very, very big economic disadvantage.
Exactly.
A cynic would say the obvious reason for economic competitors and their wish to see us remain in the agreement is so that we continue to suffer this self-inflicted major economic wound.
Exactly.
We would find it very hard to compete with other countries from other parts of the world.
Oh, so precise. Say it again and again and again. And Andy said that too, just before we went to break. This is about crippling the strength of the United States so that we are now a third world economic country instead of the leader of the free world, the most exceptional nation in history. This is about hating the United States, hating our prosperity, hating our freedom, hating our strength in every way, shape, and form. Obama hates us. Never forget that. Obama hates us. He put us in this accord to cripple us, to put us at the under the control of the rest of the world, to regulate us out of prosperity, and to I'm going to save this part. Clip four, Jason. This was the biggest practical arm of the accord, and Trump's just about to say it.
The agreement is a massive redistribution of United States wealth to other countries.
Bingo! That's exactly what it was, and that's exactly why these leftists are going crazy, because they fight, you know, they were angry because Hillary didn't win, and now they're angry because they thought they had us. They thought they could destroy capitalism, destroy the most prosperous nation in the world with this climate accord, and Trump just said, no, we're out. We're out. And I thought it was interesting because when I was listening to Trump, one of the first things he said was, yes, we're pulling out, but I'm willing to renegotiate. And I'm just panicking. No, don't renegotiate. Don't do that. But as his speech went on and on and on, and he just laid it out so clearly, I had to ask the question, do you think that that's just his way of gracefully getting out of the deal? We'll get out. We'll renegotiate if you want. Wink, wink. We really don't mean that. I'm not sure. But I know that Italy, France, and was it Germany? Pretty much just gave him the bird and said, we're not going to renegotiate with you. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? That means they never, this was never about the climate in the first place. It never was. And these major countries, they know it. Jason, you had something to say about North Korea being in the Paris Accord. You said it best, so share it with the listeners, what you were saying about that.
Well, everyone mentioned that every single country on the planet, besides two, now three, because we just got out of it, joined the accord, which includes North Korea, which everyone was shocked. Even North Korea joined it. Well, part of the Paris Agreement is the developed first world countries would devote money to struggling third world countries, developing countries, if they wanted to improve their climate.
Okay.
So potentially, we could be giving money to North Korea because, oh, they want to save the environment or, you know, make a nuke or whatever, you know.
Perfect. Thank you. See, I couldn't have said it as well as Jason did. Just so succinct. Yes, exactly. These countries darn well knew this wasn't about the climate. They knew it. They know it. And if you've ever done any studying about environmentalism, it's insane. I printed out several articles this morning trying to get my head around kind of this, the timeline of it, the history of it. I read an article about 10, 12 years ago by an ex-communist who is now a very patriotic American and also became a Christian. And I can't find it, but I remember the article and I will find it one of these days and I'm going to bring it in. It's probably the most in-depth, experienced article that's as close to communism as you'll find. And the author just laid out how when communism fell, it lost all credibility. The word communism lost all credibility. And so the left is never going to stop. The left will never stop trying to take over what prosperity, strength. They want power and control, and they want the rest of us subject to its whims. And when I find that article, I will bring it in and I will find the best points. But I did find this from 2008 in, it's from aim.org, and it's referencing the former Czech Republic president, Václav Klaus. And this is a guy who survived the communist system. And I'm kind of paraphrasing from this aim.org article. But Klaus, who's also extremely familiar with the communist system and understood the Soviet Empire, he said a few things about, you know, what is this environmentalist movement all about? What's this Paris Accord really about? And I want my listeners to understand this isn't about misled individuals. This isn't about genuine hysteria. The leaders who are pushing this, they feigned hysteria. We're going to hear from John Kerry and Nancy Pelosi. Oh, be ready for that one. Priestess Pelosi. We're going to hear from some of the leaders who are feigning hysteria over this, and they know darn well what they're doing. They know that environmentalism, the Paris Climate Accord, it was all about neutralizing America and bringing in just more opportunity to gain control over the resources that produce wealth, that being you and me, to their advantage. Now, from this article about Vaclav Klaus back in 2008, it says, while communism was an atheistic system, Klaus said that modern environmentalism has assumed a religious dimension and has become a green religion. That's not new to my listeners, I'm sure. Klaus also said that in the past 150 years, at least since Marx, the socialists have been very effectively destroying human freedom under humane and compassionate slogans such as caring for man, ensuring social equality, and fostering social welfare. The environmentalists are doing the same under equally noble-minded slogans. I mean, they always, right, they're always very pious and righteous about what they're doing because they're expressing concern about the about nature more than about people. But in both cases, whether it's communism or environmentalism, the slogans have been and still are a smokescreen, according to Klaus. In both cases, the movements were and are completely about power, about the hegemony of the chosen ones as they see themselves over the rest of us. I may not have pronounced that right. About the imposition of the only correct worldview, which is their own, and about remodeling the world. He said, this Czech president Vaclav Klaus said, that environmentalism is the new communism. It's a system of elite command and control that kills prosperity and should similarly be condemned to the ash heap of history. That, in a nutshell, is why the hysteria is so, it doesn't make sense. That's why they pull up any and all data they can, whether it's relevant, logical, or not. And that is why they are trying to guilt you and me. And that's why they pull out of the hat, people are going to die. The sky is falling. And my friends, we have to be aware of what they're doing. As I was saying, the ACLU compared this to racism, and the Connecticut senator said that he apologized to the planet. That is such bunk. He knows it's not right. He knows that's a lie. Don't buy these people's lies for even half a second. Democratic congressional candidate John Ossoff stated that history will condemn us for leaving the Paris Climate Accord. History's not going to be on your side. And there was a CNN correspondent, let's see if I can find that, who, let's see, I'm going to have to find that later. But there's hope in all of this mess. There's a glimmer of hope. Stupid is as stupid does. Do we have time for the Macron audio, or should we wait for that when we come back? The French president, Macron, now, I want to tell you, this is the glimmer of hope, because when the left gets really stupid, they get beyond stupid. And I want you to tell all your lefty friends about this offer from the French president. Because this is where it all, this is where the rubber meets the road. French President Macron came on and spoke in English, and he condemned what President Trump did by getting out of the Paris Accord. And he made an offer to all the lefties who are disappointed. We'll just let the president speak for himself.
To all scientists, engineers, entrepreneurs, responsible citizens who were disappointed by the decision of the President of the United States, I want to say that they will find in France a second homeland.
A second homeland.
I call on them.
I call them.
Come and work here with us. To work together on concrete solutions for our climate, our environment. I can assure you, France will not give up the fight.
Oh, did you hear that? My friends, tell all the lefties about this offer. They can go to France. It's their second homeland. This leftist French president has just offered everyone who's disappointed in what Trump just did, they can go live in France. And he assures them that France won't give up the climate fight. Go! Go! Go live with France, with the French and their open borders and all the Islamic terrorism that's going on over there. Go! And rebuild the climate. Go! I encourage you. He also, Macron also posted a picture to Twitter, and the words were, "Make our planet great again." More when we come back.
These are the things big media won't tell you.
Trying to make up his own fact, and that is our job.
Yeah.
The Michelle Moran Show.
All right, give me a call at 719-540-0740. Some of you out there listening know a little bit more about the climate change movement than I do, and I want to hear from you. Hey, and even if you if you're disappointed in what Trump did, give me a call. I am not closed to opposing points of view. I want to hear what you have to say. We might have a little fun with it, but I still want to hear what you have to say. So whether you're for it or against it, give us a call at 719-540-0740. So before we went to the break, we played an audio for you from French President Macron offering refugee status to U.S. Citizens who are disappointed in what Trump has done. Why are we not hearing that rushing sound, that vacuum sound, that whoosh, whoosh? I haven't heard anyone take advantage of the offer. I haven't heard anyone. They're always threatening to move to Canada if Trump gets elected. Has a single one ever moved to Canada? I didn't think so. I don't know why people aren't taking up this offer. We need to spread this news far and wide, okay? Share it with your friends. They have an escape. Go to France. And if they don't go, ask them why they won't. Ask them why they won't. Why are they going to stay here in this evil, mean America that is letting the sky fall? Why won't they go to France, where Islamic terrorism is rampant and where you can get refugee status and you can help make our planet great again, according to Macron? Isn't that just a cheap niche? Isn't that just juvenile that he borrows from Trump to, I don't know. He thinks it's all cute and everything. While Trump was speaking about getting out of the Paris Accord, guess who was making a statement and talking about the absence of American leadership? Three guesses. That's right. That guy named Obama. Yep. He just went all out and released a statement. Who cares? What president does that? What former president does that? You know, that's one thing about George W. Bush. There's a lot that has disappointed me about George W. Bush since I've learned more and since, you know, some things have unfolded. But I got to tell you, he's a guy with class. He never demeaned any sitting president. He never even punched back when big media would be throwing spitballs at him. He just never took a shot back. He was so secure in who he was and in what he believed. He just blew him off, gave him the bird by saying nothing, and just was a total guy of class. But no, Obama can't do that. He has to release a statement. The nations that remain in the Paris Agreement will be the nations that reap the benefits in jobs and industries created, Obama. But even in the absence of American leadership, even as this administration joins a small handful of nations that reject the future, I'm confident that our states, cities, and businesses will step up and do even more to lead the way. He said more, but he did cue the lefty mayors and all over the country. There were, I think, 84 mayors across the country. Let's see if I can find my source here. Let's see, 86 mayors. This is from 5280.com. It's the Colorado magazine. 86 mayors representing more than 40 million Americans have pledged to honor their city's current climate goals. They're resisting what Trump did. And guess how many were from Colorado? Five. Five mayors from Colorado. Let's list them. You bet you can't guess that Denver Mayor Michael Hancock is one of them. Boulder Mayor Suzanne Jones, Lakewood Mayor Adam Paul, Aspen Mayor Steve Skadron, and Longmont Mayor Dennis Coombs all signed a pledge after Trump left the Paris Accord. And they're all in unison, and they said this: we will continue to lead. We are increasing investments in renewable energy and energy efficiency. We will buy and create more demand for electric cars and trucks. We will increase our efforts to cut greenhouse gas emissions, create a clean energy economy, and stand for environmental justice. And if the president wants to break the promises made to our allies enshrined in the historic Paris Agreement, we'll build and strengthen relationships around the world to protect the planet from devastating climate risks. Yep, that's the pledge that 86 mayors across the country took, and five from Colorado. One of them's from Denver. Yeah, our Denver mayor's embarrassing us, isn't he? Yeah, and they even said that something was in the pledge. If the president wants to break the promises made to our allies enshrined in the historic Paris Agreement, really? I mean, does that not kind of show you how religious this is for them? They are hysterically insane. They truly are. But I have to ask the question, what they're doing, it has absolutely doesn't have anything to do with what Trump did in the climate accord. How are they going to individually increase investments in the renewable energy and energy efficiency? I would kind of like to know that. They can sign the pledge all they want. I would like to hear from the Denver mayor specifically how he's going to uphold this pledge. That would be really interesting to hear that. Let's hear a breakdown. What he intends to put upon Denver citizens to uphold the Paris Climate Accord. I would like to know. This is all just kumbaya. We're going to make a cleaner environment, and we're going to resist that evil Trump. And, yeah. So, it's insane. Speaking of resistance, Italy, France, and Germany came out and said this. You know, Trump said he's willing to renegotiate as long as, you know, it's a fair deal for America. They came out, Italy, France, and Germany came out and said, we deem the momentum generated in Paris in December 2015 irreversible, and we firmly believe that the Paris Agreement cannot be renegotiated since it's a vital instrument for our planet, our societies, and our economies. They said this in a joint statement. They knew this wasn't about the climate. If they're so dang insistent that the sky is falling, they'd be rushing back. Oh, Trump, we need to renegotiate. They're not, though, because they know he tore it apart. He tore it apart, so there's nothing left to negotiate. Nothing left. So they're trying to save face, give him the bird, and I'm loving it. Keep doing it. I wish everyone else would say it too. It just shows where they are. They're just total leftists, and their cultures are falling apart. Their economies are falling apart, and they're losers. I don't know how else to say it. Oh, did I just echo Trump? Yeah, I did, because he called terrorists evil losers. That, you know what? He copied that for me, because I've been calling him that for a long time before he did. But, you know, goodness gracious. John Kerry came on one of the morning shows. We're going to share with you what he said. He compared Trump to O.J. Simpson. I find that really disturbing, considering that ISIS was slitting throats yesterday. And, yeah, let's just think about that. And I could find it very disturbing when Kathy Griffin symbolized the exact same emotion. Very, very disturbing, the left. More when we come back.
The things big media won't tell you.
He's trying to undermine the media, trying to make up his own facts so that he can actually control exactly what people think. And that is our job.
Yeah. With Michelle Marin on AM 740 KVOR.
Call me at 719-540-0740 to join this conversation tonight. I'm here to tell you what big media won't. We're talking about Trump pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord. We're talking about the attacks against Britain via ISIS, Islamic terrorist. We're talking about Kathy Griffin. We're talking about some other things. We need a four-hour show tonight. I'm going to try to just touch on some of the other things. We're going to divert just a little bit here and go into what happened in Britain. And I specifically want to focus on Trump's tweets in the last 24 to 48 hours. This is one of Trump's greatest strengths and one of his greatest downfalls is his phone and his Twitter account. Sometimes he'll start tweeting and it's somebody, please take his phone away. And then other times he tweets, and we just are so grateful. He's going right over the heads of big media and frustrating the daylights out of them, which just makes me so happy. But some of his recent tweets, these are specifically in response to what happened in Britain. He says, this is quite funny. Do you notice we're not having a gun debate right now? That's because they use knives in a truck. Well, that's great. Why aren't we having a knife debate? Why aren't we having a truck debate? Why aren't we making knives and trucks illegal? Because guns are what good people use to defend themselves against big governments. People can't use trucks and knives to defend ourselves against big governments. That's why. Trump tweeted that at least 7 are dead and 48 wounded in a terror attack, and the mayor of London says there's no reason to be alarmed. He tweeted that 17 hours ago. The mayor of London did say that there was no reason to be alarmed. I watched his audio. Don't have time to share that audio tonight, but it wasn't strong at all. It's just the typical, you know, the mayor is, I believe he is Islamic himself. And that is disturbing. You know, they elected him, so they're going to have to deal with it. They're going to have to deal with the consequence and the fallout. I have an article here from September of 2016. So this is a good 6-8 months old. And it's talking about how the mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, he's referring to what happened in New York, the recent bombing in New York. He said he had a sleepless night, and he said that major cities around the world have to be prepared for these sorts of things to happen when people least expect them. Isn't that kind of an odd thing for a leader to say about terrorist attacks? We just have to be prepared for these sorts of things in big cities? Isn't that somewhat laissez-faire? He said in 2016, that means being vigilant, having a police force that's in touch with communities. It means the security service is being ready. It also means exchanging ideas and best practice. So the mayor of London is not a guy who is going to be rushing to eradicate the threat of Islamic terror. He's simply not. And Prime Minister May she's I was telling Jason earlier, she's got the strength of person to actually come out against the Islamic terrorism in her country. And she kind of got forced into a corner today and went and gave a press release about how enough is enough. And Nigel Farage has, I have some audio from him. We'll see if we can play that a little bit later as well. He said, is she really going to mean enough is enough? There's a headline now in Fox News that says British officials are eyeing burqa bans and stripping citizenship of, I guess, Islamic terrorists. Some of the controversy that's going on now is that the British law enforcement was actually able to identify these terrorists, so they knew about them. And that's becoming a common thread, is law enforcement knows about terrorists who might strike, but nothing's being done. And now the chatter in Britain is that they're eyeing burqa bans and stripping citizenship. Do you think that's going to solve the problem of terrorism in Britain if they ban burqas and strip citizenship? It might be a very tiny first step, but what the leaders of these countries are forgetting is that war has been declared upon the free world. War has been declared upon the United States. It was declared on 9/11, and Bush knew it, and he went after it. In my opinion, it's a humble opinion, because I'm not an expert on how to defeat terrorism. He went after Iraq. I think he should have gone after Iran. I don't know, you know, exactly what was behind that. We may never know. But at least he knew that war was declared on us, and he pushed back. And we all know Obama didn't only not push back. He enabled it. He enabled all of what's happening to us. In fact, I would dare say that Obama set the stage for this. Obama has blood on his hands, in my very not humble opinion about that. But if British officials are eyeing burqa bans and stripping citizenship, that is not a response to war. My friends, if someone's coming at you with a knife, a 12-inch knife, or a suicide vest, or a van, and you have nowhere to run except over a bridge into the freezing waters, you want to strip these people of citizenship and ban their burqas? Is that going to stop them? Remember, in war is always at its root ideological warfare. Actual combat war is just the ultimate manifestation of the ideas at play here. And when you have war, which we are in, one ideology is trying to force another ideology to submit to its will. And it's two wills warring against the other. Whomever submits is the loser. Whosever ideology prevails is the winner. And look at, just keep that in mind. That's how it is with any conflict. But banning burqas and stripping citizenship, it's a great first idea. But it's not a proper response to what has happened to the British people. If I'm in Britain and they're going to ban burqas and strip these people of their citizenship, what does that do to the no-go zones, the Sharia communities? What does that do? Does that stop these terrorists from driving their vans through crowds of people? It doesn't. We need some spine. We need some courage. We need some reality. We need some fortitude here, my friends. And Trump's showing it. We'll talk more about that in just a moment.
The things big media won't tell you.
Trying to make up his own facts. And that is our job.
Yeah.
The Michelle Morin Show.
All right. Donald Trump, our president, is not holding back on what's going on. This week does he not seem like he's learning as he goes here? And he's learning in many, many instances where it counts as far as our security goes. He's learning how evil this world is, and he is pointing it out, and he seems to be really just, showing a strength we haven't had. So he's tweeting, and these are those times. I love it when Donald Trump tweets. He tweets, "We need to be smart, vigilant, and tough. We need the courts to give us back our rights. We need the travel ban as an extra level of safety. And we've got a CNN correspondent here. Let's see. Trump tweeted also. Yeah, that was the one. Trump tweeted that. He said, we need the travel ban as an extra level of safety. Is that just not a common sense thing to say? Did it threaten anybody? Did that, yes, it did. It threatened the left. And wouldn't you know, there's a CNN host. His name is Riza Aslan. Here's what he tweeted in response to Trump. This piece of blank, meaning Trump, is not just an embarrassment to America and a stain on the presidency. He's an embarrassment to humankind. That's from CNN, big media. He called our president this piece of blank and it said he's an embarrassment. Isn't it kind of like what Kathy Griffin did too earlier in the week? Yeah, he said that because of the travel ban. Gee, who's looking out for America here, my friends? Nigel Farage, we were talking about Prime Minister May, how she really needs to step up. Her country is dying. We've got everyone on the left, California Governor Jerry Brown, saying people are going to die because we left the Paris Climate Accord. Well, we've got people dying at the hands of Islamic terrorists. And you and I who live in reality know this. And Nigel Farage, who is the UK Independence Party MEP, he slammed the mayor, Sadiq Khan, the London mayor, for not addressing the extremism in Muslim communities. And he expressed some concern about Theresa May. We're going to share some of that audio with you right now.
That a short time ago, UK's Prime Minister Theresa May with some tough language saying enough is enough. Former UK Independence Party leader and Fox News contributor Nigel Farage joins us this morning with more on Theresa May's speech and the unfolding terrorist attack there last night. Nigel, good to see you this morning. What did you think of the Prime Minister's speech?
Well, they were stronger words than we've heard before. Usually after one of these attacks, we just get hand-wringing and talk of solidarity. She did say enough is enough, but I would argue very strongly we should have reached that conclusion many years ago.
Yes.
And let's not forget, she was the Home Secretary. She was the person in charge of our homeland security for 6 years, starting in 2010. And when she says we've made significant progress over the last few years, I think that's wrong. I think what we need to do today is to recognise we have not stopped radicalisation taking place in our schools, our prisons and our mosques. And I don't think you can deal with a problem until first you come clean about what you've got wrong.
Exactly.
Sure. And Nigel.
Okay. So we were talking about, there's a Fox News headline that the British are looking at burqa bans and stripping citizenship. And I was talking about how this is war. This is not, let's negotiate, let's do a little bit, let's give a little push here and a little push there. We're going to offend you by banning burqas. That's going to do nothing. In fact, as soon as they do that, the left is going to come out and say, oh, you're adding fuel to the fire, you're offending them, and you're going to be causing more terrorist attacks because you're hurting their feelings and you're stepping on their religious faith, and they have to wear their burqas. It's stripping them of their citizenship. Oh my gosh! Yeah, it's not enough. This is we're not dealing with an enemy here, who wars fair. This is an enemy who infiltrates, who lies, who deceives, who fools, who does grotesque whatever it takes to intimidate and terrorize and get you and me to subject to them. Or else, you know, off comes the head. Never mind that Kathy Griffin, quote-unquote, you know, beheaded our president in an image and bloodied it to show the world. Isn't that just, is that not just symbolic of exactly where we are? Here we've got a white woman, American woman. She's supposed to be a comedian, and she's not funny at all. She's despicable and vile. She gets this picture taken of herself with that image. I don't even like describing it. It's so vile. You've seen the image. If you haven't seen it, go look for Kathy Griffin. And here we've got an ideology that does this routinely. And we've got a white American woman who's supposed to be funny idolizing that method, idolizing that ideology without saying a word. The picture said it all. And we're going to play some of her response, too. A little bit pinging and ponging here, but there's so much to cover. We're going to come back to Kathy Griffin. But Trump is not putting up with this. His tweets are powerful, and they're to the point. He says, we must stop being politically correct, get down to the business of security for our people. If we don't get smart, it'll only get worse. Exactly. And what he is voicing in that tweet is, he sees what's going on in Britain. It's already started here. It's not as frequent here as it is in Europe, but he knows it's coming, and I believe he's determined to stop it. He's trying to sound the alarm, and he's right. We have to stop being politically correct. If you haven't seen his tweets, go look at the last 10 or so. It's Twitter, and then Real Donald Trump is his name. But there was an MSNBC anchor. So all these tweets, Trump's coming out. He's speaking out against the Islamic terrorism in Britain. He is ridiculing the mayor of London a little bit for saying that, no, we don't need to panic. And no, we don't need to send the Brits into a panic. But get real. Brits, you need to wake up. Theresa May, you need to wake up. The mayor's not going to. The mayor he's probably like Obama. He's probably just going to enable this and do the window dressing. Oh, this is terrible. This violence. We have to arm our community, we have to have open communication. He's not going to help the situation at all. He's a hero to the Islamic terrorists. He's one of those who's in a position of power, and he's going to fool the Brits as much as he can while he's enabling these attacks. And no one's ever going to come out and admit it. So I'll tell you that. So we've got our own president coming out, as he should, and we have this morning an MSNBC anchor. His name's Thomas Roberts. He is asking these these questions, and I just want you to hear them. It's disgusting. He's talking with, let's see, who was it? It doesn't really even matter who he's talking with. I want you to just hear what his questions are, because he's trying to frame the president as setting us up for an attack to prove that he's right. Go ahead.
We do know that the president found that inappropriate of the mayor and went after him, saying that at least 7 dead and 48 wounded. And the mayor of London says there's no reason to be alarmed. And he also said we ought to stop being politically correct. Get down to the business of security for our people. If we don't get smart, it's only going to get worse. I asked this of Mayor Reed, but it seems like the president's trying to provoke something that he can politicize more for his own gain in America. Do you feel that way?
I think he's totally incompetent. But there's a couple of things that I think are good about this.
Okay. So the anchor, Thomas Roberts, asked the question twice, and he just rephrased it slightly. So big media will not put the blame on Islamic terrorism, but they know that's what it is. They are trying to lynch this president politically so badly. There, you can see the saliva just coming out as they talk. He says this president doesn't want us to be politically correct. Is he trying to provoke a domestic terrorist attack with this Twitter rant to prove himself right? That's what the left does. They will turn, and that is something I have seen, and you're going to see it too, unless you already have. In every facet of our culture, the left has this counter narrative going on, where anything you say, they are skilled at turning it around every single thing we do. That's the world we live in right now, and big media owns that narrative, and it trickles down. You'll see it in all corners. You're going to see it in the universities. You're going to see it in the public schools. You're going to see it just with people you meet. But that's why we have to have clarity on what's really going on, because they take these allegations, twist them into a question, just like this MSNBC anchor did, and is trying to pin on our president that he's provoking domestic terrorist attacks to prove himself right. That is the biggest bunch of bunk, and that puts blood on that anchor's hands, in my personal opinion. We all know who's responsible for terrorist attacks. Don't you blame someone who's pointing out what it is. We've even got it in Sweden, going back to Sweden. Remember I told you there's a gal in Sweden who posted on Facebook that she saw migrants setting fire to cars. Now she's in court being accused of hate crimes. She faces 4 years in prison. There's more coming out of Sweden, same kind of thing. But we'll come back to America. We'll come back to Kathy Griffin and the stink about getting out of Paris, the Paris Climate Accord, all when we come back.
The things big media won't tell you with Michelle Marin on AM 740 KVOR.
All right, we've got a half hour left here. Call me at 719-540-0740 if you want to join this discussion. I am telling you what big media won't. Here's an interesting big media response to Trump. We talked about CNN calling him a piece of you-know-what. Donald Trump retweeted an article from Drudge. The Drudge tweet was just this: fears of new terror attack after van mows down 20 people on London Bridge. That was the tweet. Trump didn't write it. He just retweeted it. NBC Nightly News came out in response to that and said, in their tweet, President Trump has used Twitter to share a news report on London incident. We aren't relaying President's retweet as the info is unconfirmed. That begs the question, why big media doesn't want to call an attack a terrorist attack? I couldn't figure out what they didn't like about the retweet by Trump. And all I can figure out was he admitted it was a terror attack. It begs the question, why do they want to not call it a terrorist attack? Think, just jump down to the basics of the English word terror. The opposite of terror would be like calm. Do they want to call it a calming attack? I mean, they will say anything to avoid the truth of the situation. It is beyond comprehension how determined they are to distort truth and fool America. I have a clip that you might hear in some of my intros from MSNBC, Mika. Is it Mika? And she is, we'll play it again. I don't know if we'll play it tonight, but you'll hear it in some of my intros as we come back into the show. She comes out and says that, Trump's trying to tell people what to think, and that's our job. That's our job. I'm telling you, my friends, don't underestimate the motive and the agenda of big media. They do not have our best interests in mind. It's all about themselves. It's all about keeping their power, their fame, their income, and their tight grip on what they've got going. They are leftists to the core. Very, very few are not. And speaking of leftists to the core, we're going to jump over to the Kathy Griffin topic. I want you to hear, I don't know if you've heard him, because she came out, she had a press release Friday afternoon after the big guys had gone home. And wow. So she posts this disgusting image. It's basically an Islamic terrorist image, if you really want to get down to the nuts and bolts of it. Who beheads? It's the Islamic terrorists. They do it, and she emulated them, and she did it against our president, which, who does that? Who does that about any president except Islamic terrorists? They would do it. She thought she was funny, and she's not. So she immediately got pushback. She got pushback from not just the right, but from the left, too. She got fired from the New Year's Eve celebration with Anderson Cooper. I, you know, that to me is kind of a slap on the hand, but I guess some of her shows got canceled across the country, so it was legitimate. She got fired from, I think, a company called Squatty Potty or something. She was,
Squatty Potty is a sponsor of hers, and they dumped her.
Okay. I can always count on Jason to say it succinctly. So she came out, and she starts feeling pushback. Her first response was, I don't have this audio, but she did come out and apologize, and she said, I went way too far. And, you know, she's come out, she comes out real humble and everything, because she knows she's just getting just killed financially. Well, just 2 days later after that, she hires lawyer Lisa Bloom. Okay. She hires the lawyer Lisa Bloom and holds a press release conference in Lisa Bloom's office. With, you know, probably, you know, 50 microphones to speak into. And she comes out, she's all over the place with her message. And I'll let her speak for herself. Be sitting down, because it's really gross the way she is. This woman is an embarrassment to my gender. But she really is the epitome of the left. She's pulled out all the stops, and she's kind of pulled out all of their tactics. How can we fool the people today? This is a press conference about how can I fool the people. But we'll just, and there's no real, she's all over the place. She's tearful in one instance. She's angry in another. She's all about the cause in another. She's just insane, and this is all about staying relevant. This is all about opportunity. And Lisa Bloom, her lawyer, is sitting there with the maternal expressions and, you know, off to the side. It's so disgusting, but just take a listen.
I'm not afraid of Donald Trump. He's a bully. I've dealt with older white guys trying to keep me down my whole life, my whole career. I'm a woman in a very male-dominated field.
Oh.
I love what I do. I love making people laugh more than anything in the world.
Stop, stop, stop. No, you don't love making people laugh more than anything in the world. No, you don't. You love the money from the attention you got, and you think you're funny, but you're not funny. You're vile, okay?
And I have learned over the years that sometimes when you do stand-up, and I've done it in a war zone, and I've done it at Walter Reed Hospital, and I've done it at Carnegie Hall, sometimes people want, you know, a joke that's out there and a little crazy. Regarding...
So now we've seen the world. Now we're the experienced, you know, worldwide, world-renowned comedian. And going back to the first part, the white guys, I've had to go up against these white guys. Are you sick of the war against white men? I know you are, Jason. Are you all sick of the war against the white male? I am too. Keep going.
The image that I participated in, that apology absolutely stands. I feel horrible. I have performed in war zones. The idea that...
Stop, stop, stop. The image that I participated in. Let's soften it to the image she participated in. Well, I've been in war zones. I am legitimate, people. I have put my life at risk. She's all over the place.
This, you know, made people think of this tragedy, to have been touched by this tragedy, is horrifying. It's horrible.
This tragedy? How did this become a tragedy for Kathy Griffin? I wouldn't even say it was a tragedy for the president. I think it was a tragedy for Barron. I heard that Barron actually saw the image before his mom was able to intercept it and freaked out thinking it was real, which is, you want to talk deplorable? That's beyond deplorable. But this is now a tragedy?
It's a tragedy because she doesn't have Squatty Potty paying her.
Oh!
That's a tragedy.
Thank Jason. Thank you. Let's go on with Kathy.
I'm an out-there comedian. I'm an in-your-face comedian. What's happening to me has never happened ever in the history of this great country.
Oh, stop. Stop. Oh, please. What's happened to me has never happened in this great, great country. You don't think this is a great, great country? You hate this country. You're trying to destroy it and reshape it into your utopian existence, and you are trying to capitalize off of everything you possibly can while you destroy this country and try to destroy this president. Ugh.
Which is that a sitting president of the United States and his grown children and the First Lady are personally, I feel, personally trying to ruin my life forever.
Oh, please.
Forever.
No.
You guys know him.
No, 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 no. Rewind that just a little bit. I want them to hear her say, you guys know. No. Yeah, Melania's out trying to destroy you, Griffin. Really? Melania very graciously told you that you were way out of line, and that's it. And she should have told you you were way out of line. And Trump's response was quick to the point, and he went on to the next subject. And I think the kids said something quick and went on to the next subject, too. But no, we have to be a victim now because there's opportunity here. We can write a book. We can make a movie. We can become a hero to the feminist. We can become a warrior against the white male.
Life forever. Forever. You guys know him. He's never going to stop. The death threats that I'm getting are constant, and they are detailed, and they are serious, and they are specific.
Stop, stop. You're getting death threats, Miss Griffin? Really? Do you not think that what that image you participated in was not a death threat against our president? Do you really think that wasn't a death threat? Oh, no, that was art. That was comedy. That was in your face. My audience wants me to just kind of get out there.
And today it's me, and tomorrow it could be you.
Oh.
I believe so passionately about this. If I don't stand up and say this, I'm afraid there's going to be some 12-year-old nerdy girl like me in Forest Park, Illinois, who's going to maybe be watching me to see what I do.
Oh, for
and this bully
Pete's
and these,
sake.
This president of all people is going to come after me? He picked the wrong redhead.
Oh my gosh. All right. All right. If you're disgusted, I'm sorry. I should have put out a disclaimer. This will make you a little bit nauseous. There's a little bit more I want you to hear. Do we have time for it, Jason, or should we come back? Okay, we'll come back and listen to more of the victim of President Trump, Kathy Griffin, who basically threatened our president. That was a threat. If you look at the picture, it's a freaking threat. It's a threat. It's what Islamic terrorists do. They behead people and hold their heads up on camera to try to terrorize the rest of us. It was sick and disgusting. More to come when we come back.
The things big media won't tell you.
He's trying to undermine the media, trying to make up his own facts so that he can actually control exactly what people think. And that is our job.
Yeah. With Michelle Marin on AM 740 KVOR.
All right, we're in our last segment here, and I've got more to talk about than I can fit in, so we're going to do our very best. We've got the tearful plea from Kathy Griffin. Is that ready to go, Jason? All right, let's hear her. She's all over the place. Let's hear the last little bit here of Kathy Griffin as she is the victim of President Trump.
Property. You can now see anytime. Is your floodlight prevent?
All right, we've got audio difficulties. No problem. Anyway, she gets on and she's tearful and it's so disgusting. So, yeah, you know what? You didn't need more of that nausea tonight anyway, right? Okay, there are some more interesting things going on. Did you know that Trump has broken the tradition of recognizing the LGBT Pride Month? Yep, I've got an article here from thinkprogress.org. And the LGBT crowd is the political LGBT crowd. I always want to differentiate that. There are folks who are in the LGBT sphere who are quiet, mind their own business, don't force themselves on anybody. And when I speak of the LGBT crowd, I'm talking about the militant political activists who are trying to not only affirm their lifestyle, but force it upon us. And that's who I'm speaking of right now. Trump, June 1st marks the beginning of Pride Month, which is the annual celebration of the LGBT movement. And Trump has said nothing, and LGBT doesn't like that. And they're upset because every year Obama would come out on June 1st and recognize Pride Month, and Trump has not. So I'm not sure where LGBT Pride Month is mentioned in our founding documents. So I'm not sure why this has to be officially recognized by a sitting president. I'm being a little bit cynical, my friends, because we all know that it's a political agenda. The reality is it has nothing to do with the role of president. No matter what the left wants it to be, it doesn't. So, you know, kudos to President Trump for remaining silent on that. Katy Perry... it was in Manchester yesterday, and they went ahead and had this One Love Manchester benefit concert. Katy Perry is another segment of the left, the more ignorant segment, the one that's easily manipulated, probably the more useful idiot side of it. She stood up and made her appearance at the concert and said, quote, "It's not always easy to choose love, is it? Especially in moments like these, right?" She's referring to the terrorist attack. She said, "It can be the most difficult thing to do, but love conquers fear and love conquers hate. And this love that you choose will give you strength. And it's our greatest power." She then asked the audience of Manchester, this is from Breitbart, to spread love by touching the person next to them and saying, "I love you." She said, "So now as you stand here, all of you here, and all of you watching from wherever you are, standing next to a stranger or a family member or a friend or a loved one, let's just do this little exercise of love. Just touch the next person, touch the person next to you, make human contact, tell them I love you." That's nauseating, too. That is, I guess we're all born liberals, and some of us just don't outgrow it. That's a very childish response to the hatred and the evil. And it's quite embarrassing. Let's take a jump over to the GOP and Obamacare. North Carolina Senator Richard Burr, a Republican, has come out and said that the Senate probably won't reach a deal to repeal and replace the Obamacare when it returns from a recess next week. He said it's unlikely we'll get a health care deal. And he said that the House version was dead on arrival and doesn't see a comprehensive health care plan this year. I can simplify that for you, Senator. I can simplify it real, real easily. Somebody with some guts and some fortitude needs to write a bill that just repeals the bill. "Oh, no, 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 Ms. Jo, it's too complicated. We can't do that. So we're just going to put it off till next year, and we're just going to keep putting it off until we lose control of the House and Senate, because we're such cowards that we, the GOP, just cannot do what we were elected to do, and that was repeal Obamacare." It's real, real easy. Are the ramifications easy? No. Will you get pushback? Yes. Is there a chance you might not get reelected if you repeal Obamacare? Sure there is. But the chances of you not getting reelected if you don't are a lot higher, because my friends and I want nothing to do with you, and we will not be supporting you. And I can guarantee you the left is coming after you no matter what choice you make. So pick the choice that's best for the American people and not your own cowardly hides. It's just insanity making. Now we're going to go over to Russia again. This is very unnerving. This is according to the Washington Times. Russia has declared its first test of a hypersonic missile a year ahead of schedule. Why is this significant? Well, defense analysts are saying this makes U.S. missile defense systems obsolete. Remember what Reagan did? He created the SDI, the Strategic Defense Initiative. That broke the Soviets financially and technologically because they could not beat us in an arms race anymore. Ronald Reagan one-upped them intellectually and militarily by basically just not allowing them to attack us. He created an incredible defense shield. Well, the military analysts are saying that this missile system is expected to be added into Russia's arsenal between 2018 and 2020. and that China and Russia have searched for asymmetric weapons that can defeat the SDI that protect us against foreign nuclear attack. Hypersonic missiles are part of that effort, and they're here to stay as a quantum leap in destructive military firepower. So here we are chanting, it was the Russians that interfered with the elections. It was the Russians did it. And I have some audio. How much time do we have left, Jason? Okay, we may have time for that. There are Democrats coming out saying we need to, you know, that their peers need to be quiet about the Russia thing because it's ruining their opportunity to demonize Republicans for all of our capitalist free market, pro-life stances. And anyway, it's the left who are pushing the Russiagate, and even the ones on the right who are pushing Russiagate, they may very well have blood on their hands, because the real threat from Russia is not interference with our elections, and that's alleged interference with our elections. Interestingly enough, good old Megyn Kelly, I have audio from this too, but we're just not going to have time to play it. She now is with, what is it, CBS or NBC? She went to one of the other big media outlets. And she went on stage with Vladimir Putin. And there's an audio out there. If there's not time for me to play it tonight, go look for it. Putin mocked her. She pulls out her, you know, her arrogant lawyerese, her arrogant American, you know, very naive lawyer, American lawyerese tactics on Putin in front of a Russian audience, and asks Putin about the fingerprints on the elections left by the Russians. Putin was not impressed, and Putin's pretty calm guy, pretty strong guy, so nothing seems to really rattle him, or at least he doesn't show it. He got the audience to laugh at her. He was responding in Russian with a translator, so of course the audience is laughing at Megyn Kelly. She doesn't know what they're saying until the translator finishes talking. But she continues to push Putin about how, well, there were 17 U.S. intelligence agencies that say that you interfered with the elections. Putin was not impressed, but he handled it well. And I don't like to say that because I'm no fan of Putin. But in this situation, you know, here we've got Megyn Kelly, who thinks that seems to think she's the end-all be-all to American female journalists, and why would you go on stage with a guy who puts Russian journalists in body bags frequently, and easily puts them in body bags and is not ashamed that it gets out that he's the one who does it? He stuffs them in trunks of cars. He stuffs them and contorts them and puts them in bathtubs in Great Britain. He poisons their food. This guy has a totally different agenda than Megyn Kelly's me agenda. Putin is all about his country, and he's all about domination, and he's all about power, and he's a former KGB agent, for crying out loud. He knows a little bit about intelligence, and Megyn Kelly just keeps pushing him on it. He totally embarrasses her about how IP addresses can be faked, and how her three-year-old daughter could have faked the so-called Russian fingerprints on the elections. It's just incredible what these people in big media, where they think they are. They you know, I think Megyn Kelly kind of got put in her place with this one, but that music means we're out of time. One little thing I wanted to tell you about, completely unrelated. Texting while driving in Colorado. If you're caught texting while driving in Colorado, this is totally unrelated. It's now a 4-point offense against your license, and I think instead of $50, it's $300. Don't text and drive. That's a new law that's going to, you're going to get hammered if you get caught. So that's a wrap. This is Michelle Morin on AM 740 KVOR. Thank you for joining me tonight. I'm signing off, and I hope to speak with you next Sunday from 9 to 11 p.m. here on AM 740 KVOR. Have a great week, my friends.